The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
This week's parasha is Parashat Chukat. It begins with the mitzvah of Parah Adonah, the red heifer, which is the commandment to prepare the ashes of the red heifer together with the water from fresh spring water that when sprinkled on an individual that has come in contact with the death, so this purifies him. You know, this is the mitzvah, the commandment of the Torah to purify tumat met, the most severe of all of the impurities of the Torah, which is the impurity that comes with coming in contact with the opposite of life. Spiritually, that the contact, the touching, the opposite of life, death, means that a person has become affected spiritually by we call it the law of entropy, that things deteriorate, that the life ceases, that there is no eternity in reality. Which means that in a certain sense, whether it's conscious or not conscious, a person has been touched by some point of inner spiritual despair, which is the very opposite of the foundation of the whole Torah to serve God with joy. And true absolute joy is only when a person is released from the fear of death and from the contact of spiritual death and everything that death, the opposite of life, implies. So that's why it's so very, very important that a person become purified from that Avi Avot HaTumah, it's called the father of the fathers of all of the impurities in the Torah. Now, amazingly, that process of becoming purified from the most severe impurity is through the ashes of the red heifer. Now, the red heifer is a very, very rare occurrence that there is born in the first place a red heifer. It's only something that happens just once every several hundred years, even that there's a reality, a mitzvah, such a reality as a Parah Adonah. In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert, the Jewish people whilst wandering in the desert, so there was a red heifer in order to perform this mitzvah. And whenever it's necessary, God makes sure by His divine providence that there will be a red heifer in order to perform this great mitzvah of preparing the ashes for the sake of purifying those that have had contact with death. The meditation that we will meditate now upon for this week's parashat Chukat, is simply trying to imagine this red heifer and why, for some reason, a cow. It's a kala para, a red cow, which is pure, completely pure, purely red. That's the expression in the Torah, para dumat mima, that a perfect, consummately red cow or heifer is what's necessary in order to prepare this spiritual, but even call it mystical, ashes that have this tremendous divine power to purify the soul from the touch of death, the touch of the opposite of life and joy in one's service of Hashem. Now, when we think of this red heifer, which is an animal, it's a pure animal, but still it's an animal, it's not a human being. Nonetheless, deep in the secrets of the Kabbalah and Hasidut, this animal is identified with several souls, several archetypal souls of the Jewish people. One soul that the red heifer is identified with is Moshe, Moses himself, because the beginning of the account reads, "V'yikhu elecha parah adumat mimah," that the Jewish people shall take unto you a consummately red cow, or heifer, which is the cow is here, it's a female cow, as we'll explain. It's a para aduma tmima, not a male cow. Chazal say that all of the red heifers of history, there were another 8 red heifers that were prepared throughout all of Jewish history after the original one that Moses prepared in the desert. When Mashiach will come speedily in our days, there will be another, the 10th, the final red heifer will be prepared. That's one of the signs, even the appearance of a red heifer in reality, in the world, is a sign of the imminent coming of the Mashiach, that there's one ready preparing the 10th one with those ashes that will purify the touch of death, and not only purify us, but even prepare us for true eternal life. That's the ultimate objective of the coming of Mashiach and the resurrection of the dead. It all has to do with the secret of these ashes of the Para Aduma Tmima. So Chazal teach us that all of the red heifers, from the first one on until the very last one, including the last one of Mashiach, are all called on the name of Moses. Kulam nikrim al shimcha. They're all called the heifer that Moses made in the desert. And it is something essentially that relates the red heifer to Moshe Rabbeinu. So even though, as we said just a moment ago, the para is an animal, it's not a human being, but when we picture, as we know in our mind's eye, in our heart's eye, in our meditation, thinking about this red heifer, together with the red heifer, we see Moshe Rabbeinu himself, that he's more connected to this than maybe to any other of his 613 commandments in the Torah. We know that the number 613, which is the all-inclusive number of all of the commandments of the Torah, equals, its gematria equals Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher. But of all of those mitzvot, it says that Shlomo that came after Moshe, Solomon, he was the wisest of men, and he was able to understand and comprehend the secrets and the reasons, the deep spiritual reasons for all of the mitzvot, accepting only this one mitzvah, the red heifer, that he couldn't understand. And he says in Ecclesiastes in Kohelet that I thought I was wise, but now I see that wisdom is very far removed from me, very far away from me. And the sages teach us that refers to he tried as hard as he possibly could with all of his tremendous wisdom to fathom the secrets of the red heifer, and was unsuccessful. But it says that Moses did understand the reason. In the terminology of Chazal, it says, "L'chani megaletam para v'lo la'acher." To you, I shall reveal, and I reveal the reason, the hidden reason of the red heifer, and to no other except you. Meaning that this is the most mysterious and paradoxical commandment in the Torah, because we're also taught one of the laws regarding the red heifer is that the very same ashes that purify the impure can also make impure someone that is previously pure. So it's as though it's two contradictory qualities, characteristics about these very same ashes. So it's a paradox. And no one was able to fathom that paradox except for Moses himself, which was also a special act of grace that God said, to you I shall reveal the mystery and the reason of the Para Aduma, and to no other besides you. So as we said, one most important image that we shall connect to the image of the red heifer itself is Moshe, Moses himself. That is called the heifer of Moses. Para Shel Moshe. Now another most important figure that is identified in our meditation, we also should try to see the picture together with the red heifer. Since the red heifer is female, as we said before, it's also a cow which is it's not a young calf, it's already a cow. And Chazal say that it's a mother figure. And one of the properties that it possesses is that it is able to atone for the sin of the golden calf, which is also the worst of all of the sins of the Jewish people in all of history. And the only one mitzvah that atones for the golden calf is this commandment of the red heifer, because in the terminology, the idiom of the sages, the mother comes and atones for the calf, for the infant. Because the calf is an infant cow, and the para is a mother cow, and the mother comes and atones, and she also, the image is that she wipes and cleans the filth of the baby. Of the baby cow, meaning that all of the impurity that came with the sin of the golden calf is wiped away and cleansed by the mother cow, who is the para aduma. Meaning that when we think of the para aduma, it's a mother image, that the mother is coming to clean the child. So it means that we could identify the para aduma with all mothers. In Jewish tradition, all the mothers are the matriarchs of the Jewish people. But in particular, we're taught that the Para Aduma symbolizes or relates in essence to the first, which is actually the greatest of all of the mothers, to Sarah Imenu. And why so? Because when the princes of the 12 tribes brought their sacrifices in the inauguration of the tabernacle, so each one brought cows and brought rams and sheep. And Rashi explains in the name of Moshe Darshan, in his commentary, which is the most basic commentary in the Torah, Rashi explains that the cow corresponds and alludes to Avraham, and the ram to Yitzchak, and the sheep to Yaakov, to the three fathers. Meaning that the feminine of each one of these three species is the corresponding mother. Meaning that Para, in particular, relates to Sarai Mena, that she is the first archetypal mother figure of the whole Jewish people. Now she herself comes to rectify the mother figure of all of humanity. The original mother of all of humanity is Chava, Eve. Now Chava herself, in Hebrew, her name is Chava, in English we say Eve. But that name Chava was given to her after the primordial sin, which the primordial sin of Adam and Eve is just like the communal sin and the collective sin of the Jewish people of the golden calf. That's what we're taught in Kabbalah. And after the sin, so Adam, her husband, gave her the name Eve Chava, calling her Eve because she is the mother of all life, meaning that the name Eve itself comes from life. As we said before, the Para Aduma is here, it's a potent life essence that comes to purify the spiritual and physical contact with the opposite of life, with death. So obviously that relates also to very, very clearly and obviously to the first woman, because she was responsible in a certain way for the sin. She actually seduced the snake, primordial snake seduced Eve, but she went on to seduce Adam to eat of the forbidden fruit. So she, in a certain way, is held responsible for having brought death to the world. But her name is life, comes from the word life. We're just taught in Kabbalah and Hasidut that had she not sinned, she would even have been a higher level of life. She would have represented true eternal life. Now she just represents a mortal life, that mortal life is not eternal. She is the Ein Kochai, the mother of all life. But her original name, as was intended, and it is alluded to in the Torah itself when man was created, is Chaya. Chaya is called the living one, the living soul. Because of the sin, instead of a Yud, how is Chaya written? Chaya is written Chet Yud Hei. The very letter Chet is the letter of life, the letter of the life dynamic of run and return, the pulse, the pulsation of life. So it begins with a Chet, and it's from the very word is from the word Chet, which means life. But in the original reading of the name, as it was intended to be of the first woman, so Chaya is with a Yud. After the Chet comes a Yud, and then followed by a Hey. After the sin, she was called Chava. And Chava, the difference is that in Chava there's a Vav in place of the Yud. So one of the reasons that is explained in the Torah for this is that Chava also alludes to the snake that seduced Eve, because in Aramaic the word for snake is Chivya, which is Chet with a Vav, which is very, which is cognate, very similar and cognate to the name Chava. But even the name Chava also means life, as the Torah says explicitly, that Chava is Em Kol Chai. So to summarize the meditation till now, when meditating, contemplating the secret of the Red Heifer and the power that it has to purify the impurity of death, which is the greatest of all impurities. So there are three basic figures, archetypal souls, that have to be had pictured in mind. One of the first is Moshe, that the Parah is called the Parah, the Heifer of Moses. And the other two are actually, it's one soul, just two variations, because first it's Chava, it's Eve, and then Eve was not rectified 100%. Then the woman that came, the mother figure that came to rectify Chava is Sarah Imenu. So we're taught that actually these three archetypal souls correspond, the one-to-one correspondence of the three words that define the Parah Adumah. As we said before, the Parah Adumah is called the consummately red heifer. Now in English, we said it in the backwards order as it appears in Hebrew. In Hebrew it's Parah Adumah Tmimah. Parah, the first word is the heifer, the cow. The second word is Adumah, which is red. And the third word is Tmimah, which means consummately red. So the English reads things backwards, so we say consummately red heifer. But in Hebrew, it's first Parah, and then Adumah, and then Tmimah. So we're taught that the word Parah, the word cow, also means to be fruitful and multiply. That's the root of the word. Like Pru or Vu, the first commandment that man was given when he was created. The very moment that he was created, be fruitful and multiply. That being fruitful, that's the same root as the word for Parah. There's something very virile and fruitful about a cow more than any other animal. That's what it symbolizes, represents. The Parah itself is called the Parah of Moshe. The fact that the Parah is red means that the first word Parah, when saying and thinking of the first word, the image in mind is the connection, the intrinsic connection between the Parah and Moshe Rabbeinu. The second word Adumah is red. Now red has different meanings and connotations to it. In this context, it says that the redness and the fact that this, what's so special about this caliph, it wouldn't be red, it wouldn't be in any way worthy for this greatest of all mitzvot. The secret of redness is the color of life. And the redness in this context implies life. Because life is blood, and blood is red. So very often in Kabbalah, red is alive. Meaning that if, once more, this cowl is consummately red, so it means that it's consummately alive. That's why ultimately this cowl represents eternal life. Because it's completely red. It's all 100% alive. It's alive, and it's also, together with being alive, it has this continual power to reproduce and procreate, which is implied by the word Parah itself. But the fact that it's red, the word red, Adumah, how is it spelled in Hebrew? It's spelled Aleph Dalet Mem Hei, which is the word Adam, Adam himself, with an Hei at the end. Implying, as we're talking Kabbalah, that to be red is to be the feminine side of Adam. But the feminine side of Adam is Eve. Meaning that the word red, Adumah, is a very clear allusion to the soulmate, the feminine soulmate of Adam HaRishon, who is Chava, but initially her name was Chaya, which means altogether life. So once more, since red is the color of life, and also it alludes to the feminine side of Adam, so the soul that is meditated upon when saying or meditating upon the word Adumah, red, is the soul of Eve, and actually the soul of Eve before the primordial sin, as she will be in the future, the Ein Kol Chai. But the one that comes to rectify her is Sarah. Sarah corresponds to the word Tmimah, consummate. the fathers and the mothers walked, the word same word consummate means to walk purely and completely and sincerely with God. Holech tamim. Now, there are very important and beautiful and numerical allusions here also, that the principle just mentioned one, that when Sarah is added to the word Tmima, it equals 1,000. There's no number that is more consummate than 1,000. 1,000 is the most perfect and consummate of all numbers. The word Tmima equals 495, and the name Sarah equals 505. If you add 505 to 495, then you see that it equals exactly 1,000. In such a way, we'll not now go through it one by one, but whoever is familiar with the Gematria will see that the two words Aduma and Chaya go together in a very beautiful way, as do the two words Para and Moshe. Once more, Para, the cow, corresponds to the picture of Moshe, and Aduma to the picture of Chaya, and Tmima to the picture of Sarah. Now, we'll just conclude with a very beautiful story to illustrate the secret of the Para Aduma based upon the figure of Sarah Imenu, the first matriarch. One of the great tzaddikim that had a disciple of both of the Baal Shem Tov and especially of the successor of the Baal Shem Tov, the Maggid of Mezrich, was Reb Nochum of Chernobyl, that wrote a very, very important book in Hasidut called Ma'orei Naim. That's the book in which he quotes that every Jew, he quotes it from the Baal Shem Tov, that every single Jew has a spark of Mashiach and has a spark of eternal life in him, because the spark of Mashiach is the spark of eternal life. The Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, always quotes this from that book, from the book of Reb Nachum Chernobyl, that every Jew possesses a nitzot of Mashiach, a spark of Mashiach. Now, Reb Nachum Chernobyl, as the Baal Shem Tov who preceded him, dedicated much of his life's work to redeeming imprisoned Jews. In that time, about 200 years ago, so a Jew that couldn't pay his debts or his rent to his renter, they were thrown either into prison or into the dungeon or into the pit. And if other Jews would not come and redeem them, they would die, God forbid, in the pit. Sometimes not only the person himself was thrown into the pit, but even together with his wife and his children, his family, they were all thrown. Our sages themselves teach that to redeem an imprisoned Jew in such a way, which is the greatest, simplest form of saving a life, is comparable to the mitzvah of procreation. We're taught that there are two great mitzvot. The term in Hebrew is called mitzvah rabbah. There are two mitzvot that are called great mitzvot. One is procreation, be fruitful and multiply, and the other is pidyon shvuyim, which means to redeem imprisoned captives. So his very great mitzvah was to redeem captive Jews. And we're told that once he himself was taken captive. Reb Nochum of Chernobyl, this very, very great tzaddik, was himself taken captive and was thrown into prison. And even though he was in a very, very obviously difficult condition, situation, being in prison, but nonetheless he was able to bribe the police there, whoever was in charge of the prison, and every day he bribed him in order that he should be released just for a very short period of time, an hour or two, in order to go to the mikveh and to daven. And that's what he did day after day, that he had this regular sum of money that he would bribe the prison carer there. And he was able to go to the mikveh every day and to daven shachris. One day, he didn't bribe the prison carer there, and when apparently one of the other prisoners, someone asked, "What's different today from all of the previous days?" So he said that today I'm going to be released, so I don't have to bribe him. So when asked, how do you know that you can be released today? Who told you? So he said, I'll tell you what happened. He just had woken up from sleep, and he said that the matriarch Sarah Imenu, Sarah, came to me tonight, and I asked her when she appeared to me, Sarah Imenu, I asked her why am I in prison? What great iniquity have I done to deserve being thrown into prison? She said that the reason that you're in prison is a very simple reason, that since you are devoting your life to redeeming captives, you have to taste yourself what it is to be a captive. In order to know, to truly and consummately know that mitzvah that you yourself are dedicating your life to and devoting yourself to, and that's the greatest of all mitzvot in Torah, in order to do it properly, you have to first taste it yourself. And that's the reason that you're in prison, to taste what it means to be a captive in order to be able to perform that mitzvah even more in quality and in quantity, even more than before. And that's what that he knew after he had been told that, and now he knows why he's here. As soon as a person knows in truth why God has sent him to a certain situation, so that itself is already the key to the release from the prison. So thereby he knew that now he's going to be released, because he already learned the lesson, that the lesson is simply to experience himself what it means to be a captive. So this teaching could have come from a million infinite different ways. The fact that he told us the story that not his Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, and not one of the previous great tzaddikim, and not one of the prophets, and not one of the patriarchs, not Moses appeared to him, but only Sarah Imenu appeared to him. So this is a very, very amazing thing, that this teaching must be related in essence to Sarah Imenu. That's why she came. And she taught him this deep, fundamental teaching of life. In order to do something properly, you have to taste it yourself. So this, in our context, redeeming captives, which is almost like giving birth once more to a soul that's on the border of leaving this world. In our context, it's the secret of why, the ultimate secret of why there is death in the world itself, and what is the meaning of this red heifer, this mother figure that comes to purify the touch of death. That we have to understand that the whole purpose, our whole purpose in life, the whole purpose of the Jewish people is to redeem ourselves and the world from death, which is to rectify the primordial sin. But for the time being, in order to redeem, this is what Sarah Imenu comes and teaches us, you have to taste death itself to know what you're working against, what you're working to rectify. Who was the first Jewish soul to die, actually? It was Sarah Imenu. She died at the age of 127, that's the beginning of Parashat Chayei Sarah. So she was the first one to taste death, and that's because her purpose in life is to purify and rectify death itself, and to transform death into eternal life. So that's the ultimate secret of Parah Adumah, and why it's symbolized by Sarah Imenu, that she's the consummate life, the consummate red of the heifer, the Tmima, that together with her name equals a thousand. A thousand also goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that when the Torah was given, also had we not sinned with the calf, we would also have merited eternal life. And at that moment, Moshe Rabbeinu was given 1,000 lights, it says. Those 1,000 lights are 1,000 lights of eternal life of the Torah, which again is the value of Tmima plus, of consummate plus Sarah. So that's the power that comes from Sarah, and that's the secret of the consummately red heifer.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galinai means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginzburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galinai team and participate with Rabbi Ginzburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Galinai team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galinai team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. Or email us at inner@inner.org.